Support for this podcast comes from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative, connecting communities with the resources, infrastructure, and networks to ensure a vibrant local free press.
From KVPR in Fresno, this is Central Valley Daily. It's Tuesday, January 6th. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. A new investigation into wildfire recovery has uncovered that in some cases, homeowners insurance providers are causing damages to be underquoted. That means homeowners are not getting all the funds needed for repairs.
These internal claims-cutting practices aren't just happening to fire victims. They're happening to people dealing with all kinds of accidents and disasters with their insurance companies.
We'll learn more in just a moment, but first, these headlines. California's updating real IDs of more than 300,000 people to comply with federal regulations. The move comes after an audit by the state's Department of Motor Vehicles. It found thousands of licenses were issued to people with expiration dates that did not match the expiration dates on their work permits. The state estimates that update affects just over 1% of those with real IDs. The DMV will waive fees to update the real IDs and will notify all affected customers in the coming weeks. Today marks 5 years since the January 6th attack on the U.S. Capitol. Violent rioters ransacked the Capitol in an effort to block the certification of the 2020 presidential election. Some members of Congress say that was one of the darkest days in American history. More than 100 law enforcement officers were injured, and at least two took their own lives in the days after the attacks. Several protesters involved in the riot also died from medical emergencies. At least one of them was shot by Capitol Police. When U.S. forces struck Venezuela early Saturday and reported capturing President Nicolas Maduro, it sparked a sharp backlash from elected officials and immigrant communities. Cap Radio's Gerardo Zavala has more.
State Senator Scott Wiener is calling for President Donald Trump's impeachment for what he called an illegal attack using made-up pretexts, including accusing Maduro and his government of drug trafficking and narco-terrorism.
This invasion is not because Trump cares about Venezuelans. He doesn't care about Venezuelans. He cares about getting their oil. He cares about his own power. That's all this is about.
Wiener also says the attack serves as a distraction from Trump's political troubles, falling approval ratings, rising healthcare costs, and his connection with accused sex trafficker Jeffrey Epstein. Wiener, who is running for Nancy Pelosi's congressional seat, says he has no problem with the U.S. using sanctions to deal with dictators like Maduro.
But when we talk about the U.S. invading, that's a very, very different thing. Like, that didn't work in Iraq. Didn't work in Afghanistan, and it's not going to work here.
Giselle Garcia works for NorCal Resist, a nonprofit that serves Venezuelan immigrants and others at risk of deportation. She learned about the strikes from several individuals they support.
A couple of them have also expressed guilt that they're here and their families are stuck back there.
Garcia says that while many Venezuelans were against Maduro and his regime, its toppling does little to address the existing conditions that motivated them to flee, such as hyperinflation and poverty. In Sacramento, I'm Gerardo Zavala.
The new year officially kicks off a full steam race for California's next governor. Two leading Democrats are touting their recent fundraising power. Democratic Congressman Eric Swalwell, who represents the Bay Area, said he raised $3 million in just 6 weeks since announcing his campaign in November. Meanwhile, former Democratic House member Katie Porter says she's raised $6 million in the 9 months she's been campaigning. Recent polling shows the race could come down to a Democrat and a Republican. Riverside County Sheriff Chad Bianco is leading on the Republican side, and he campaigned in Fresno over the weekend.
Support for Central Valley Daily comes from the Osher Lifelong Learning Institute at Fresno State, providing short courses and activities for everyone 50 and better. Spring semester registration begins January 14th. More info available at fresnostate.edu/OLLI. The Osher Lifelong Learning Institute, where learning never ends.
And now to our main story. Tomorrow marks 1 year since wildfire erupted across Southern California, killing 31 people and damaging thousands of homes in the Pacific Palisades and Altadena communities. And after the fires were extinguished, for many homeowners, the real work began. filing insurance claims. Homeowners pay monthly insurance premiums so that if a disaster happens, they have recourse. But a new investigation from the San Francisco Chronicle finds many insurance companies operate in a way to undercut claims, leaving homeowners in a lurch. To back up their reporting, Susie Nielsen and Megan Fan Muncy reviewed company manuals, training materials for claims adjusters, and internal communications. And today, Susie joins me to break down their findings. Susie starts our conversation by explaining how homeowners can suffer extreme damage, even if their house didn't catch fire or burn down.
You know, soon after the LA fires happened, my colleague Megan and I traveled to LA and started speaking with as many people as we could, insurance adjusters, builders, and most of all, affected homeowners. And one thing that kept coming up was that while people whose homes had burned to the ground were obviously suffering immensely, there was this kind of hidden additional problem of people whose homes actually looked fine when you just saw them from a distance. But when you go inside and you maybe look around, you see that these homes are filled with ash and toxic smoke from all of the other homes and the electric cars and industrial facilities that burned in these fires. And as scientists are learning more about this kind of what they call urban fire smoke, they're learning that it contains all of these incredibly toxic substances like lead, beryllium, which is this metal that can cause lung damage in even tiny, tiny microscopic amounts. And these homeowners were trying to get their homes cleaned and repaired from all this smoke damage, but their insurance companies were essentially telling them that the damage did not exist. And they were refusing to test their homes for these metals. And then if homeowners, a lot of homeowners would pay out of pocket for their own tests, but then their insurance companies would still send them these repair estimates that were way lower than what independent experts said it would cost to repair their homes. And so these families were stuck in these agonizing month-long battles. Their homes looked fine, but they couldn't return. And a lot of them told us that, you know, they actually had wished that their homes burned down because of how agonizing and scary it was.
Yeah, almost like a phantom problem in a way, like just because you can't see it doesn't mean that toxicity isn't there in the home, right?
Right. And most of the families we talked to that were fighting their insurance companies, you know, for every family we talked to, there were probably many more that just went home and said, I'm just going to not deal with this. But the families that really held out and spoke to us were those who had small children because their tests revealed high levels of lead in their homes. And lead is highly toxic to developing children and can harm and impede brain development for babies and toddlers and small kids. So it was really those families that were fighting the hardest against these insurance company practices.
You know, what's really interesting about your report is that you focus on what's called in-house claims editing rules. So how were insurance companies using these rules to potentially benefit themselves?
Yeah, so when you think about insurance companies, you know, I think of an insurance company as a company whose primary job is to protect people from disasters. And that is certainly the service they sell. But ultimately, at their core, insurance companies are for-profit entities. So while they may be selling protection, their ultimate goal is to make sure that they make a profit and that they stay in business and that they protect their own assets. And what Megan and I found is that these internal claims editing rules really help insurance companies do that consistently, even in the event of a major disaster. So they're basically the industry's way of controlling their costs as much as possible. So a couple of examples, you know, I think most of the rules that we uncovered don't appear to be these crazy reductions. So one of the rules we saw a lot of is that insurance companies will often only pay for one coat of paint on a wall, even though most of the time it usually takes two or more coats to really make the wall look good. Or, you know, they'll refuse to pay for contractors' protective equipment like masks and gloves because they say the contractor should pay for that themselves. These things don't sound like they're going to majorly reduce an estimate, but across a whole claim, when you add up the hundreds of rules they have, and then you add those across thousands or tens of thousands of claims, you can really start to see how they add up to huge savings for the insurance companies. And for the individual clients, you know, these customers, the many rules over time can add up to getting a lot less on their claims payout. And We spoke to many people who are supportive of the insurance industry, and they say that these internal rules are kind of like guardrails. So they'll protect the industry and homeowners from excessive charges. But in practice, we found that these internal rules are actually removing really important and necessary work from repair estimates.
Yeah, I really kind of bizarre when you talk about the line items, but also I appreciate you explaining, you know, that obviously these companies do have a bottom line that they have to remain operable, but it shouldn't be at the expense of the people filing claims. And that's really what you're digging into. Now, you write that California has some of the nation's strongest laws protecting insurance policyholders from receiving repair and reconstruction estimates that are, quote, unreasonably low. But if that's the case and there are strict laws protecting policyholders, how is this type of thing happening?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And, you know, I think that insurance is a pretty heavily regulated industry in California. And so when we read through a lot of these regulations that the Department of Insurance has, we thought that they could help protect policyholders from what people call lowballing. You know, the idea that an insurance company will give you this estimate and they'll say, this is all we'll pay, and it's way too low. And yet, we kept coming across stories of homeowners that were getting lowballed, and yet they would not get any kind of response from the Department of Insurance, and they were not really getting anywhere with their claims, even when they would point out that this estimate was way too low. One person we spoke with, his initial estimate from State Farm was 5% of what his contractor said he needed. It was so low, it just seemed absurd on its face to us. But what we found was, first of all, these regulations are kind of vaguely worded, or they have these loopholes, like you're not allowed to provide an estimate that's unreasonably low. Well, what does unreasonably low mean? There's no really strict definition for what that means. It doesn't mean, like, you know, if it's 20% of the independent estimate or less, they just say unreasonable. So ultimately, unless the homeowner escalates the situation and somehow gets someone to help them out, it's the insurance company that decides what reasonable or unreasonable means. And what's more, you know, I think the California Department of Insurance is trying really hard to address the unfolding situation in Los Angeles, but this is the single most expensive wildfire in world history. And they are scrambling to try and keep insurance affordable in the state. They're kind of putting out all sorts of fires. I mean, no pun intended, but they're dealing with all this stuff. And I think a lot of policyholders have felt like the department is slow to respond to their complaints about this. So even if the regulations exist, they may not be being enforced very well.
So some of this might seem a bit in the weeds for people, especially since your reporting really focused on people in LA County. But to you, why should this matter to people here in Central California and people across the state, really?
You know, I think the LA fires have exposed these practices maybe more than in previous years. But what Megan and I found is that these internal claims cutting practices aren't just happening to fire victims. They're happening to people dealing with all kinds of accidents and disasters with their insurance companies. So one big area where insurance companies employ a lot of these rules is in water damage claims. So if you've ever had a water damage claim, these insurance companies are finding ways to minimize their losses on those claims because they're really common. And so if you own a home, if you rent a home where something could go wrong, this reporting should matter to you. And the way that these insurance companies are cutting down their claims should matter, because they're not just doing it for fires. They're doing it for any time they have to pay you out for anything. And there's almost no regulation surrounding what these rules can and can't do.
Susie Nielsen, investigative reporter with the San Francisco Chronicle. Nice to have you on again.
Thank you so much, Liz. It's been a pleasure.
I previously spoke with Susie and her reporting partner, Megan Van Muncy, for an episode last April. We discussed their investigation into a tool that homeowners insurance companies use known as 360 Value, which has been shown to have a faulty algorithm. You can hear that conversation by listening to our April 25th episode from last year. And that is today's show. Today's episode was produced by Jonathan Linden and KVPR with support from the Central Valley Journalism Collaborative. I'm Elizabeth Arkalian. Find the latest local news anytime at kvpr.org.
Hi. how does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.